Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it's been already just being here in this place and sensing the presence of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible in chapter 5, the Word of God, how powerful it is. And it takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. We've gone through, we've given you an outline on each book of the Bible. And then we've been breaking down this book of Revelation, three parts, and we've already covered the first two parts. The third part is the longest. It is from chapter 4 all the way through the end of the book in chapter 22. And that is the things which shall be hereafter, future events. Now, we're living in the church age, and that's chapters 2 and 3, and it breaks that all down, and what a blessing it was to study that. We've already been and we studied chapter 4. The very first thing we find in chapter 4 is there's a door to heaven open. And we are called up. Amen. John said he was called up, the door in heaven. We're going to, when that time comes, everyone, every Christian will focus and the door of heaven will just appear. And we'll hear the trump of God and he'll call us up and everything else will just fade out. Praise the Lord for that. And we'll be taken up into heaven. And the Bible reveals this, and what a blessing. That's the next event in prophecy is going to be the rapture of the church. And it's a blessing to know that. We've studied 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We studied in 1 Thessalonians as the Bible gives us a lot of insight into the rapture and what's going to take place. But then we get into the book of Revelation, and it's actually happening here. This is what God has recorded concerning that event in the future. Now that could begin as early as tonight. Amen. I mean, that door of heaven could open up tonight. And what a blessing that would be. You know, I know we have a lot of worries as long as we're here, and we have a lot of concerns as far as the loss and lost loved ones. When the door of heaven opens, all of those things will just fade away. And we'll be forever with the Lord. And there's going to be some things taking place there, the judgment seat of Christ and the crowns that we'll be receiving, the rewards to cast at the feet of Jesus. We studied some of that in chapter 4, but now we're getting into chapter 5. And as we look here at chapter 5, not only was in chapter 4 a door to heaven was opened, but we've seen the throne was revealed, what's going to take place at the throne. That, and then chapter 5, there's a book revealed that would represent the judgment of the world. This world, and when we're raptured up, then there's going to be a tribulation period, a 7-year tribulation period. This world's going to be judged. In chapter 5, it reveals a book that has the judgment of God upon the earth. And that's what we'll be looking at tonight. So if you stand with me, it's only 14 verses. We'll read the entire chapter here in chapter 5 of Revelation. Now, God has written it down as He wanted it to be written down. And it takes spiritual discernment to be able to understand it. And the interpretation of that, there's good men that disagree in some of the interpretations of the book of Revelation, future events. We've already studied some of that. And most of the things that they, good men, differ on doesn't make a difference. It's just what they think and what it might happen. But it's not a difference in salvation. It doesn't make a difference in how we are serving the Lord today. And so when it doesn't make a difference, don't argue the point. Choose to let them interpret it as they want to interpret it and you interpret it as you want to interpret it. But the Word of God, you have to look to the Bible. The Bible actually is what we use to interpret Bible. Okay, and so always be aware of that. So don't change the Bible. Don't change the words to make it say what you want it to say. That's good men do not do that. Good men hold to what thus saith the Lord. But even in that, because it is future events and it's written in a way that has some symbolisms and different things, good men will disagree on certain areas. And that's all right. Amen. And so tonight we're going to be looking and reading at what the Bible says concerning this next event, and that is in heaven, there's going to be a book revealed. And we're going to see who's worthy to open the book. The Bible says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David." All this is identifying Jesus Christ. "The Root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and the thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Wow. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you now, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for just how you've loved us and how you have proven that love by sending your only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross to pay a sin debt that we all owe and couldn't pay. Thank you, Lord God, that you have revealed to us your precious word that covers past, present, and future time. It helps us to understand things, be able to know what you would have us to know. And as we have assembled here tonight and we're going through and studying in this book of Revelation, as we're focused on chapter 5 tonight, I pray that you'd give us all insight into what you would have us to learn from this chapter, that we would be strengthened and just drawn a little bit closer to you. Bless, meet with us, work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. A book revealed that would represent the judgment of the world. Because in this book you'll find the beginning of the judgments of this earth. Verse 1, and we're going to see just right here, verse 1, it revealed the book. It's sealed. Now, to break it down and understand all the seven seals and all that, well, I'm not doing that. I want to give you practical understanding of what the Bible teaches about future events. Some just like to just get into that and understand all. I think I mentioned last week, some want to know how much pitch was used in the ark. And I'm thinking, who cares? As long as it floated. That's what's important. That's practical. Not how much pitch, just enough pitch to allow it to float through the flood. Amen. And so I love being able to take the Word of God and break it down to where it's applicable to our lives, to my life. And I trust that's where we're at tonight. In this study, that's what we're doing. We're just breaking it down and making it applicable. Something that God would have us to know about future events that can help us today. So there's a book. And this book represents the judgment of the world. And we're going to get into some of that, and it's going to break it all down and what have you from the 7 years of tribulation here on this earth. Verses 2-4, very important. The Bible says, no man found worthy to open and execute the events of the book. There's no man worthy to execute the judgment that's going to take place on this earth. No man. Verse 5-7, the only one worthy to judge is the Lamb who came and was slain, who resurrected on the third day, sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for humanity today, for those that believe in Him and receive Him as Savior. The only one worthy to judge. That's important. That biblical principle is going to be applied in our lives today. Should be applied in our lives today. And we're going to get into that. But the only one worthy to judge, it reveals, is the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, we find that as He is revealed, and He is the one that can open the book and to execute the judgment of the books. Verse 8, it says this, and when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders, I believe the 24 elders, we broke that down last week, I believe that is the bride, the saints, the saints of Christ that are now in heaven, they've been raptured up, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials. Now, the harps, but I want to look at the golden vials. These were something that would, they were golden, precious, holy to God, valuable to God. And inside these golden vials was what made it so precious. Full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. I believe these would be the vials of the prayers of the persecuted saints throughout this church age. Every saint that has looked to God for strength to make it through a trial, a persecution, they prayed to God. God has taken those prayers. And He has saved those prayers. They've been putting in golden vials. Because, amen, God will judge. God will judge. And when we pray as God would have us to pray, when we are being persecuted and we're being unjustly accused and all the different things that go through this church age, God is recording every one of them. All the injustices. Amen. And that's leading to the judgment of this world. Very important that He has these, and it's there, and it's a vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Verse 9 and 10, it's what we're going to be singing in heaven, our song in heaven. They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast us made us. Now, who's He talking to? Us. Those that are saved. Those that have been made kings and priests. And those that are going to reign with Him on earth. That's the bride of Christ. That's the believers. This is what we're going to be singing. And this is going to take place at the very same time that everything is being prepared on this earth for the judgment of God, the 7-year tribulation period. Verses 11 through 14 reveals all worship and praise to Christ, the Lamb. Now, what a blessing it is. That's what's going to take place. That it will take place in heaven. before the vials and the books open and there's the judgment on this earth. It's all going to be in perspective in God's timing. Who is worthy to judge? Can I tell you, breaking it down, I believe chapter 5 helps us to see that there's only one worthy to judge. In all of heaven, they said there's no man looking in heaven and earth and beneath the earth. There is no man worthy to judge the judgment of this earth. They're going to execute the type of judgment that this earth is going to have to go through, and rightly so. But there's no man that is worthy to do that. Now, with that understanding, can I tell you that there's no man today that ought to put himself up in his position to judge others based on what he thinks? In Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to go there with me, Matthew chapter 7. This is the practical understanding of this and putting it and applying this in our lives today. There's only one worthy to judge. That's God. In Matthew in chapter 7, Jesus, in teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he says to them, first of all, in chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Now, there's more to that, and we're going to explain that in just a minute, but he does a good job in explaining it in the next few verses. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. There is judgment to be used, but we are not to set ourselves up to judge by what we think. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? And what, an exaggerated illustration to make a point, to help us to see exactly what he's talking about here. Who are we to judge others by what we think? No one should set themselves up like that. Thou hypocrite, we're all sinners. If it not be by the grace of God, we could commit any sin that any other man or woman could commit. How do we know just how we would respond if we were raised under the same set of circumstances that others were raised in? And affected by the things that they have been affected by. Who are we to say that we are better than anyone else? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. We're not to set ourselves up to judge others based on what we think. Even Jesus taught that he didn't come to judge. The world didn't need him to come to judge the world at that time. He is going to return, and there is going to be judgment on this earth. But John chapter 12, look there with me. John chapter 12. Verse 47, verse 48. Jesus is teaching here, and verse 47, he says this. And if a man hear my words, the Bible, and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Which in turn is going to get, is what positions him to judge the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in that last day. Well, that's a powerful statement right there. Jesus taught that he did not come to judge, but he came to prepare himself to be worthy to judge. we must look to God's Word. And by looking to God's Word, use it to use judgment, to know how we are to respond to others. Back over in Matthew chapter 7, because that's exactly what he ends up revealing to them. He tells them to judge not, and then he breaks it down. Then in verse 6, and many times you read that and you think, well, that doesn't really fit in, but it does fit in. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, what do I have to do to determine how I treat others and whether or not I cast that which is holy, how I represent Christ to others? And we have to use judgment to determine how we respond to the different people and the different circumstances of life. It is not me that sets myself up to judge based on what I think. It is me to understand that the Word of God is what I must look to and then judge by the Word of God. And the Word of God reveals to me that I am not the one that is to come and to set myself up to judge over anyone. But as a parent, God has given me a position to be able to discipline and judge, use judgment to know when my children need to be disciplined and how they need to be disciplined. If you have any kind of a position in this life and you have authority over others, then you have to use judgment to know how to deal with them. In order to have right judgment, I must look to something that is very much higher than what I am, and whose thoughts are very much higher than my thoughts, and whose ways are very much higher than my ways, and look to God and say, God, I want to be righteous in how I treat others. And you'll never do that by treating them the way that you think you ought to treat them. But you treat them the way that God tells you to treat them. Amen. We are not. No man was worthy to judge man, to judge this world, but only Jesus. What made him worthy? And it reveals it right there in Revelation chapter 5, that he is worthy. Know that Jesus will judge the world. He was the only one, and he was seen as the Lamb slain. He came to reveal his great love for man. Whatever judgment we use to judge others, it has to be based on love and truth. And as I revealed this morning, and let God be true and every man a liar, don't use truth to hurt people. Use truth to help people. If revealing truth about somebody hurts them and doesn't help them, then keep it to yourself. To tell somebody they're ugly, they might be ugly, but it's not going to help them for you to tell them they're ugly. For somebody to have a piece of food stuck in their teeth, you're always thinking, should I tell them or not? I don't want to embarrass them. But I guarantee you, if that's you, you'd say, tell me so that I don't embarrass myself in front of everybody else. It's true, you have a piece of lettuce on your tooth. Should I tell you? If it helps them, tell them. If there's nothing to do about it, keep it to yourself. Truth. Jesus came and he would judge, and he is worthy to judge because he came as a result of a love for humanity. John in chapter 15, and you'll not have to turn there, but verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. In the book of Revelations, it reveals the one that was worthy was the Lamb slain. It was Jesus Christ, who was God, who loved man enough to come and to become man, and to die for him. He's worthy to judge man. He's worthy. Every parent, you're not worthy to discipline your child if you enjoy it. Amen. If you can't wait to be able to beat your child and to spank that child, you've got a problem. The only reason that you discipline your child is because you love them and you know that you have to help them. And when you discipline them, you know that it helps them to learn to discipline themselves. And when we discipline them, it ought to be one of the hardest things you do. You ought to always discipline with a tear in your eye. Knowing that it's not what I want to do, but it's what I need to do if I love my child. The Bible tells us that. He's worthy. Because He genuinely revealed a love for all humanity. For all mankind. He's worthy. Because He lived by what He established for man to live by. We're judging those that have a splinter in their eye, and yet we are living with a beam in our eye. You're not worthy. You hypocrite. That's the words of God. You're not worthy. Jesus was worthy. But because He came and lived by what He established for man, He became a servant. To give us an example of how we should live. 1 Peter chapter 2, and if you're here in Sunday school this morning, we touched on this morning in 1 Peter in chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." We are called to be Christ-like. And we have been given an example to follow after. The one that gave us that example is worthy. Is worthy. Not only did He come and revealed His great love, and not only did He come and establish a way to live, and He lived it Himself, He completed and preserved His word for man, that which man would be judged by. I believe that in order for us to properly discipline our children, we have to know that they understood what was expected of them. And when they fail to live by what was expected of them, there is consequences. And once you have established that, once you've established, if you do this, then this is what's going to happen. When they do that, then you have to hold them accountable for what you told them that they would be accountable for. And before you execute the judgment, to sit them down and say, "Do you know why I'm going to spank you? Do you remember when I told you what would happen if you did that? Did you do that?" "Yeah, I did it." "Then because of that, I'm going to have to discipline you. Because I love you, I'm going to discipline you." I remember Crystal so vividly. She's a little bitty, and she always had a really sharp mind at a young age. But she said, I said, "I'm going to discipline you because I love you. You know that?" She said, "Yeah, I know you love me, but does it have to hurt? Does your love for me have to hurt?" And it does. But it hurts me more. I didn't understand that as a child when I was on the other end of it. But when you become that authority and you realize it is what you have to do if you love your child, then you realize it's not something I look forward to. But it's something that's very much necessary. And God's given me the position. Jesus is worthy, the only one worthy, because He revealed His love. He established and gave an example of what a Christian ought to live by. He completed His preserved word for man so that man would know. Written down right here. He told them in John chapter 12, I didn't come to judge. There's going to be something that you're going to be judged by. It's right here, the Word. I come to complete the Word, to bring the Word to you. He was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have had His completion of the Word of God ever since. And in this reveals what God expects of us and the consequences when we fail. He called others and commissioned them to take this word to the whole world so that everyone would be accountable. You know what's taken place? That's happened. The Word of God is available around the world. Not as much as it is here in America, but there is missionaries and there are radios and there's television and there's everything. The Word of God is available to the whole world and have been taken individually by missionaries, mission projects, so that all the world is without excuse. Acts in chapter 1, that's what He did before He left. He wanted to make sure that all of us knew what He would expect out of us so that He would be able to be worthy to judge. But ye shall receive power. I'm going to equip you. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Or the Great Commission. So that He would be worthy to execute the judgment of this earth. And then lastly, He is worthy. Because He warned ahead of time. And presented the consequences. The consequences of their personal will, their personal decisions. In Luke in chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, and then John chapter 3, but Luke in chapter 13 says, there were present in all that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay. But He looked at His own disciples and said, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent. And except there's a confession and a forsaking and a forgiveness and cleansing of sin, ye shall all likewise perish. In John chapter 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture, in John 3, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, a religious man that came to Jesus, and He said this in chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A warning established in the consequences. If you don't get saved, you can't go to heaven. Nicodemus saith unto him, who was a religious man, religion will not take you to heaven. How can a man be born when he is old? And can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, answered, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, physical birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Not only did He reveal what not to do and what to do, He revealed the consequences of our decisions. Who's worthy? We're getting ready. Back in the book of Revelation in chapter 5, it reveals the book that was sealed. That when opened, will begin the tribulation, the judgment of God upon this earth. But who's worthy? Not man. Only one. And that's Jesus Christ. He's worthy. And He will be the one to execute the judgment of the tribulation of this earth. And we're going to see that. We're going to be getting into it. But with that understanding, that God makes it so clear, no man was worthy, but Jesus is worthy. Let us learn from that and apply that to the biblical principles that God would have us to live by in this church age. Don't set yourself up to judge. Look to God. And look to His Word to use His judgment, that we might have the blessings of God as we use the judgment that God would have us to use. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Every day we use judgment to determine what to do and what not to do, to make decisions on how we have to deal with whatever we need to deal with. So thankful that I don't have to rely on my own thinking to know how to deal with situations and humanity. I've got the Word of God that will help me in every relationship of my life, and knowing how to treat others and knowing how to use judgment. But not only do I have that, every one of us have that. And as you judge righteous judgment, then you have the blessings of God upon your life. God blesses His plan, not ours. Heavenly Father, as we bow before You now, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for just revealing to us what has taken place as we have these future events. And we know that there's going to be a rapture, and there's going to be a throne, and then there's going to be a book that reveals the judgments. But Father, understanding the only one worthy to judge, past, present, and future, help us, Lord, to look to You and represent You in how we use judgment in our lives today. Now, Lord, only You know how You want to use this in the lives of those that are here. If there's decisions that need to be made, I pray that they'd be willing and ready right now at this moment to come to this altar and make whatever decisions that need to be made. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.